Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are taking a close look at the Corinthian church to learn from Paul's encouragement and correction to them. We are examining how their intellect and knowledge caused great division among them. Conceit and pride at the heart of the matter, many of us experience these same struggles in our world today. With everyone doing what's right in their own sight and no absolute truth to stand on, there is a great divide in our nation, from government to families. So join in the conversation as we uncover the depths of divide with the Corinthians' conceit. Well, Janie, I would like to start us off today by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Well, Sharon, it says, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of the person of Jesus Christ. So God's faithfulness is going to have to be a priority in our calling. And so we can just stop off on that word for a minute because...
What does that mean? Well, a calling.
A calling can be what the Lord's purpose is for you in your walk here on earth that will go with you into eternity.
Okay.
So whether the calling is into some ministry, but it's also a calling in relationship with knowing the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's really how we use it most times, isn't it? We talk about a calling to certain kinds of ministry. Most times that's how we use that word in definition.
Okay. He calls you into the relationship with his Son in knowing him in the way he has called us to know him. And then the outflow from that will be a fellowshipping in ministry. And that might be to Brazil, Africa. But sometimes I think we get the cart before the horse. We are going to be called to a location rather than to a person.
Okay. Right. So this is really just about how we are called into a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ.
So in that verse, which winds up kind of being a pivotal verse for the whole book of Corinthians, because he has introduced to the Corinthians his opinion of them, of who they are, sanctified in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spends the rest of the book, when you go past 1 Corinthians 1:9, teaching you now what their calling was and how it was to be expressed in fellowship in the centrality of the Son of Jesus Christ. But the Corinthians were wanting to not necessarily make Jesus Christ the centrality. They were wanting to use gifts, or they were wanting to do one-upsmanship here, or they were comparing oneself with another, and we can go on and on and on what they were doing.
That sounds a lot like our churches today.
Exactly. Okay. We've substituted a lower standard of calling into the fellowship other than the centrality of Jesus Christ, is how I would try to summarize that.
Okay.
And the Lord says, I'm going to let certain obstacles come up for you to realize that I want you to basically return to your first love. You know, we used to go hiking in the mountains, and sometimes the path was so rugged and so jagged that we didn't know how we were going to get over that particular portion of the path to get to the smooth meadows.
Okay.
All right. And so sometimes we would just say, okay, we can't go any further because we can't overcome this embankment that we're facing. And that's kind of what happens in the Christian life.
So do you think that when they put the cart before the horse, that maybe it's just out of enthusiasm and excitement of this new life that they've been presented with? And so instead of growing in the Lord, they start wanting to share everything that they're learning, and so then they feel this urgency to get out there and teach others about all this stuff that they're coming into reality with.
Yes, and what happens there is then they don't really grow, because we know from scriptures throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that the Lord says, wait on him, learn of him in silence. The word waiting is a really tough word for the American culture. Now, some countries are limited on resources, and so it's very easy for the people to sit around and wait. Mm-hmm. They have their other hang-ups. But for the American to wait, if we really say we wait, we believe we're being a sloth. Uh-huh. Or we're just being lazy. So I think basically what Paul is just saying is, Corinthians, you need to slow down. You need to go back to the basics. And you need to get established who you are in Christ, what your calling is. Learn how to fellowship with him. And then you will know how to fellowship with others.
Well, I tell you, they've got all the gifts. They are sanctified.
And they are knowledgeable.
They're knowledgeable. They know about the grace of God. They know about the sanctification of God. And so,
justification, and all those big words, right?
So now Paul is saying, now let's go back. Let's get back to the basics. And they're like, basics? Huh, yeah. We're so far past that.
Exactly.
So that's a pride issue.
And a blindness and a deception. Now, okay. We don't have enough history to know what all brought them to that point, other than we know that they were living in a culture of deception and how that culture had creeped into their own fellowship.
Well, we have that today.
Exactly.
We have a culture that has deceived the church, and we've embraced so much of the culture in order to reach the world.
And then with the other side of the question, they were living as pagans in the society of Corinth. And when they did receive the light of Jesus Christ and did accept his justification, his forgiveness, his completeness, they brought some of their trash with them. And they incorporated that trash, that junk, the works of the flesh. Justification positionally gets you on right standing.
Mm-hmm.
But Sharon, don't you know that we've brought some junk into the church that we've had to be corrected on, had to yield, give up? And then once the Lord has set us free in that area, we have to be super cautious that we don't look at our brother or sister and point a finger and say, yeah, but you should. And the Lord says, there was a time I was saying the same thing to you.
And that's what causes divisions.
Big, big, big time division.
And so then people are splitting and leaving this church and starting another church. And we've got 40-some churches in a 15-mile radius.
And you know what? The Lord says he hates that.
Yeah.
So we compromise one of his edicts, his precepts, for another, and then we justify it, and the Lord's heart is saddened, and I think sometimes just maddened.
Well,
that his family cannot just look to him.
If we look at our own situation as parents, it saddens me to see my children argue and fight and bicker at each other. It causes contention and stress in the home. And so I see that as the same thing that God's looking down, and he's saddened and maddened over the fact that we can't get along.
Because your children are still battling some pride in their life, even no matter how young they are, and they want to do what is right in their own eyes.
Well, that sounds a lot like us in the church today,
doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I remember in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, towards the end of the book, it said everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and the result was bondage and captivity by heathen nations. Which goes to show us that not only do we have a problem with division, but we have a problem with lack of wisdom.
And all of this is really under the surface. I mean, we don't just purposely go out and divide. I mean, it's under the surface kind of things. If we're not looking and digging and searching in our own hearts, we won't see it.
Sharon, there was a show long before you were ever born called Father Knows Best. It was one of the first TV shows when TV was birthed back in the late 40s. And each week there would be different perplexities presented on the little program, but Father's wisdom would resolve the issue. Now, that's where TV was 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It would make a 2 a.m. presentation these days.
Right.
And it certainly would never make prime time.
Right.
But spiritually, is that not the equation? Father always knows best.
Mm-hmm.
And life will present perplexities that Father knows best, but we don't want the counsel, guidance, truth of Father. We want our own opinions and preferences.
Well, that's kind of where the Corinthians had gone, too. They were divided over teachings, and they had some following Christ, they had some following Cephas, they had some following Paul and Apollos, and they talk about that in verse 12.
Well, and it's a good, that's a good, interesting point, because they weren't just saying, I like this person better than I like the other person, but there were reasons on why they were choosing as they were. For Paul, he was the, what I would call the loyalist. He had helped start the church. He had been there about 5 years earlier, and there are like four letters, of which we only have two recorded in the scripture. But looking at the context, we can tell there was more communication than what is recorded in the New Testament. But he was a strong figure in that assembly and helping them grow.
Okay.
So some people just said, Paul's our man. But within that community that came and went was Apollos. And Apollos was a great orator. He could speak of the truths in great eloquence.
Okay.
And he probably appealed to the intellectual side of the people that were at that church. And some people just really wanted to follow the teachings of Apollos. He could have been very fluent in his speech, whereas Paul may have just said, black is black and white is white, and
yeah,
cutting to the chase.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And then you mentioned Cephas, whose name was then changed to Peter. And Peter had also made his way to the church at Corinth. And Peter was the disciple that had actually walked with Jesus firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm mm-hmm. going to listen to what Peter says, because Peter was with Jesus.
Okay.
And so that became their priority. And then there was the super elite group said, I'm not buying anything that any of you guys have to say. I only listen to Christ. Now, the New Testament had been written when they were listening, so they had to go back and hear what Jesus had said when he was here ministering his three
okay.
years.
Okay.
So each one of them had validity. It wasn't like they were trying to go in and get some false god that they were going to serve. But nevertheless, the final result is that the things that they were doing was causing grief and division and strife and splitting, which equally saddened the heart of God.
Right.
And so we can take that down out of the church and the intellectual side. And let me ask you, how do you see that we subtly cause division within our own home or with our children or with our neighborhood?
We can cause division with our children when we don't see them as valuable.
Good
when
point.
When we see our own opinions mattering more than how they feel or taking into account what they think. And not that we should follow what they think or how they feel and make that a final authority, but they should feel like you care about what they think or how they feel and take that into account when talking with them.
And have you ever stopped to think that sometimes our busyness in our own world gives your children the feeling of being abandoned?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I will say that I praise my mother for the influence she had in my life, and I wouldn't be here sharing with you if it wasn't for her. But let me tell you, she had a ministry 5 days a week that caused me to have to just go along with her, but her focus was always on others.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look back on it now and see how the Lord worked with her in that ministry and much fruit. I can also see where he let me know how it was to feel abandoned, unwanted, forced to do things on her schedule that had no bearing on my life, I thought at that time.
Right.
And the hurt that it caused, the rejection that my flesh decided to yield to. And Sharon, eventually, by the time I was 12 years old, I had hatred. Now, fortunately, we got that dealt with, but not immediately. So in her well-being, in her calling, mm-hmm. and her fellowshipping, she was also having to learn how to care for her family and the divisions that it caused. So I only say that as a personal testimony to the victory that the Lord gave us, because it had a very happy ending. Nevertheless, I want to give that as a warning to where even the people in ministry, ladies in ministry, can create problems in families with their husbands. We were created to be a helpmeet to our husbands. And many times, husbands don't appreciate the way we want to help them. Has that ever happened in your life?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think you're doing something wonderful for your husband, and it's like he doesn't give you the time of day. He doesn't even, like,
acknowledge it.
Yeah, acknowledge. What was it that you said? I'm sorry, yeah. I wasn't listening. Okay. And so we get saddened or maddened, and the Lord sometimes gently comes back to us and says, that's kind of what you and I are having a problem with. So get your life with me corrected. Jesus Christ is now speaking to we the women, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to handle the misfortunes that you have and your needs if your husband is not making all of those needs met for you. And then sometimes we have to realize that what we think our husbands want is not what they want, and we have to be sensitive enough to see where we can meet their needs the way they want their needs met.
And not sensitive enough that we are taking everything personally.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've been guilty of that, of being so sensitive, wearing my feelings on my sleeve that, you know, he can't even tell me the truth.
Well, and that becomes another burden they have to carry, uh-huh. because they definitely want your approval. And when they, the husband, gets the disapproval, because we're constantly complaining or wanting them to do this or that or change this or that, then that causes a spirit of discouragement within the very husband that you're wanting to please.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a vicious circle and cycle. So again, if we go back to the calling that we've been called to, which is to serve, but we need to know how to do that in the fellowship of Jesus Christ so we can have his wisdom, not human wisdom,
right,
for us to know how to function. And that's why that verse back in 1 Corinthians 1:9 is so meaningful, because when we know how to fellowship with Jesus Christ according to his mind, then it's going to simplify our calling, mm-hmm. when it comes to these divisive things, such as the divisions that we are dealing with every day in society.
Right.
And as the times get tougher, it's going to require us more to have the spiritual wisdom from above, mm-hmm. and not to rely on human wisdom.
So division is something that we deal with on a national level, a spiritual level, on a personal level in our homes. So it is a situation that we will deal with always. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And until you understand to be able to differentiate between human wisdom and heavenly wisdom, the result is hatred, bitterness.
So since this is something that we're going to be dealing with at all times, is it something that we just learn how to not cause division? How do we work within the devices that are around us?
One of the ways that our temperaments most of the time want to choose is one of two extremes. One will be, we will just retreat and have nothing more to do with that situation or the people in the situation.
Bury our head in the sand?
Yes. We'll do the ostrich approach.
Okay.
The other one is, and a lot of this is based on temperament and personalities, is we will try to take absolute control and we will be belligerent, opinionated, outspoken, and create strife and create more problems in a different way.
Okay.
So those are the two extremes of how we will initially react. How I believe the Lord is telling us how to react is go talk to Him and see what He's already said. And there's all kinds of passages that He has spoken of. One that comes to me is just in Philippians, where He tells us to think His thoughts. And in, that's in chapter 2, and where He says, let this mind of Christ be in you. And so He teaches us how to think not more highly of ourselves than what we should,
mm-hmm.
but to take on the spirit of humility, which only the Holy Spirit can give you. The next time someone tells you that they have really been humbled in this situation, well, they probably haven't been humbled.
Okay.
They're probably dealing with it. Humility is not something that you recognize that you do. It is an essence of the life of Christ in you working something out so that it's so natural you don't even really realize it. But the Lord is, that's one of the few qualities that the Lord spoke of when He referred to His own personality and temperament and disposition.
Being humble and meek.
Yes, yeah. Meek and lowly, and lowly. Not to uh-huh. think more highly of ourselves than what we should.
Okay.
And yet, there's a quiet confidence in knowing that you are in Him and that He will guide you as you seek Him. So the heavenly wisdom then has to be ingested and practiced, and that is usually done by developing habits of being in time alone with the Lord, so that when the crisis comes, immediately I have a kind of a set, I shouldn't say regiment or routine, but I immediately say, wait a minute, where is the stronghold in your thinking? Because your peace is disrupted. You can tell you're fretting, you're striving, you're feeling contentious, you're feeling wounded, all those feeling words
uh-huh,
again.
Uh-huh.
And so immediately I have to go back and say, I've got to be on solid ground, so I've got to bring the stronghold. And when I say I've got to, that means by the power of the Spirit.
Okay.
Because if I do it in my own human reason, I'm going to rationalize something. But if I let Scripture do the talking, then it will bring a quietness to my spirit that I can then choose to say, all right, I realize where I'm wrong in my thinking, and how am I going to correct it?
So how we work with divisions is basically in prayer, looking for God's wisdom, and humbling ourselves to not allow pride in what we want be more sufficient than what God has told us to do.
And you know what you have just described, Sharon Hoskins?
No.
You have described the working of the cross in your life, where the Lord says, I believe it's in Luke 9, to deny yourself and take up your cross. You see, the Lord Jesus had His cross, and then He has His resurrection. But then we have our cross that is like His, but not the same as, whereas we deny ourselves, He denied Himself, He gave up His rights, we give up our rights, we look to His sufficiency as He looked to His Father's sufficiency to raise Him from the dead and to give Him all things that the Lord God Almighty said He was going to give to His Son. Do you see the correlation?
Right. Okay.
And yet there is a difference.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
And by the way, the cross will take care of all divisions. All divisions. So if you want to have a one-liner in your mind, when you see divisions, think, Lord, how can I present Your cross and my cross in a way that they will be able to hear? And ask the Spirit to open the hearts and eyes to see the beauty as well as the trauma that the cross will present.
All right. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. I would love to keep going on with this cross conversation because I love hearing about the cross and ways to describe what the cross is and how we can live in it. But we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratcliffe saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.